All right, we're going to call a meeting of the special meeting of the Board of Supervisors to order. Today is Tuesday, June 19, 2018. It's 9 a.m. We're in the Community Center at the Sierra Room at 851 East William Street. In our very own Carson City, we're talking today about canvassing the vote, which is something we do after every election. Could we please have a roll call just to make sure that we're all here?
Okay. Good morning. Supervisor Bound?
Here.
Supervisor Bonkowski?
Here.
Supervisor Bagua?
Here.
Supervisor Barrett?
Here.
Mayor Kroll?
Here.
Mayor McCoy?
Would you please all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. We'll now take up public comment. Anybody? Aubrey, you got any public comment out there? Congratulations to you. Congratulations, Lori. Who else made it here?
Jason.
Congratulations to Jason. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I don't hear any public comments, so we'll move off that. We'll go on to the agenda. I assume there's no changes to the agenda, and so unless there's an objection, we will adopt the agenda as published. We'll move to item six, the clerk recorder. This is to accept the canvass of the vote for the 2018 primary election. Sue, you want to, and Aubrey, you want to take us through it, and we'll go through there.
Certainly. Sue Merriweather, for the record. I just wanted to start out by congratulating Aubrey on her election, and all of my staff at the office, Beth, Margot, Sandy, and Elaine, and Carol. They did an outstanding job helping us out, preparing for the election. I don't think, like Aubrey has mentioned before, she says, I don't think people understand the process of preparing for an election and the work behind the scenes of doing so. And so I wanted to put a big thank you very much to all of my staff. I also wanted to thank the different departments throughout the county. Our IT department, Tyler, he was there for us, Desi, the Parks Department, they help us set up maintenance, dropping the wires and getting us all set up. And, of course, Eric over at the Community Center, he plays a huge part in getting us all set up. And also, Aubrey mentioned, too, is the courthouse security. We had, you know, they were on top of it and there with us through the whole process of early voting. Of course, we don't have, we open the doors up during early voting and election day at the courthouse, so they don't have to go through, our voters don't go through security, but they're still there watching out for us. So I just wanted to put that out there. I was a little bit disappointed. The turnout this year really dropped, and I think we've kind of talked about it and decided that it was probably because the county offices, the nonpartisan ballot, there were so many unopposed. I'm not saying people should go out and file against, but there. I think the turnout, not having contested elections, say if the sheriff would have been on there with, you know, candidates or something, it would have drawn more people to the polls. The highest or the lowest, it was a 30.75 turnout, which 4 years ago, which is how we compare elections, was 35.47. Not that that's great either, but it's a little disappointing, you know, all the years doing elections that I don't believe the people or the voters understand the importance of a primary election, because, you know, you're nominating someone to go into that general election, and, you know, I don't know how we could get more and more people to participate in the primary, but it is such an important election. And it's kind of disappointing to see that, because our general elections, we get, you know, 85% to 90% turnout. So I just really wish that there was some way we could get people out there to vote. Anyway,
we were not that far off from what the state average on voting was, though, I don't think.
You know, I didn't pull up the state. They said turnout was good throughout the state.
But I thought that, you know, that ended in the 30s someplace,
yeah,
too.
And okay. So one of our big complaints this election was the nonpartisan ballot only had Supreme Court to vote on. Everything else was uncontested. So we did get a lot of complaints, and I'll go over the fleeing voters with you. A lot of the nonpartisan voters would come in and they told us they're like, well, there's nothing on my ballot, I don't want to vote. And so that was our problem with the fleeing voters. The other thing, let's see, the only issue we had talked about, you know, when we were trying to decide on this voting equipment to buy for Carson City, one of the big concerns the other counties had were that the voters were going to be spoiling ballots. When they made their selections, they printed out their ballot, and then they go, oh, no, I changed my mind, and spoil the ballot. I don't think we had one through the whole election that anyone spoiled their ballot. The other issue was, I'm drawing a blank, that people were concerned about walking out with their ballot. We know we had one person walk out with their ballot on early voting. The very first day, we didn't balance. And the only thing we could determine is that they went up and got their ballot, they got voting history, and then they walked out with their ballot. We had two people guarding the exit to make sure that nobody walked out with their ballot and somehow someone slipped out. But we really watched. We had two people at each exit during election day and early voting to make sure that people didn't walk out with their ballots. We determined that possibly, three voters actually walked out without casting their ballots. The other fleeing voters were because voters got their nonpartisan ballot and didn't want to vote it. And so they, matter of fact, one kind of got mad at Aubrey and tore it up in front of her and said, I'm not voting, and walked out the door. So that we're gonna probably change our record keeping and keep better track of those spoiled ballots, which I don't think is going to be an issue in the general election because voters are going to be able to vote for the full ballot. As you probably know, California has open primaries. So a lot of people, you know, new to Nevada come in and register as a nonpartisan, and they think they could vote for either party. And so we did a lot of explaining that we're a closed primary state, and, you know, you have to be a registered Democrat or Republican to get to vote for their candidates. That was another one of our issues. But overall, I received so many compliments on this voting equipment. I can't even tell you. I was flying high with praise because people really liked having that ballot to be able to go in and look to see who they actually voted for and put their ballot in the voting equipment. And so I'm really happy with the turnout and of the voting equipment and our selection of ES&S. They had three support people here on election day, walking us through any issues that we really didn't have, but just kind of walking us through tallying at the end and, you know, making sure that we understood and did everything right. And
if somebody walked out with their ballot, I assume they didn't vote then, because it's not a vote until it goes in the machine. But,
right.
But then you catch them. What do you do with the ballot?
Well, the nonpartisan ballots that we did spoil, we have a spoiled ballot envelope, and we write spoiled on the ballot. We put it in that envelope, and then two election workers verify that ballot was spoiled. Now, there is a way with the electronic poll books that, you know, and this is something that we need to kind of think about, a policy is we can actually go in there and take that voting credit. If we know who the person is, we could actually take out that voting credit and then spoil that ballot, and it's like they never even appeared to vote. And so, you know, that's an option too, if we could get the person's name who wants to spoil the ballot, we could take them out. That's something new that we just learned. So, but. We did have an incident where a voter, and it's right after Aubrey called me with this situation, I had a gentleman come up to me and he said, they wouldn't let me vote. And I said, well, what's the problem? And I looked him up and I says, well, you already voted. And he says, well, no, I voted in the primary. Isn't this the general election? And, you know, I think with early voting, people think that they come in and they vote early. And then when election, the big hype, you hear all the advertising of U.S. Senate and Congress and governor on, you know, camp. So they think that they could come in and, you know, if they had a nonpartisan ballot, come in and vote on election day. And so what happened at the courthouse on election day is a gentleman came in and the election worker was going through the process and it says that he voted and, or, well, maybe I should have Aubrey explain this because I'll let you do that.
I'll take over. This is Aubrey Rowlett for the record. The individual that appeared to vote, when he appeared, our election worker was checking him in, and there is a red flag on the record that says ballot was issued. At that point, our election worker thought that her hand had accidentally hit the tab that she thought would trigger that ballot issued flag. Unfortunately, that's not the way our poll books work. She wouldn't have been able to do that. But in the rush of checking people in, it was at 8 o'clock, polls had opened. She felt that she had issued that ballot incorrectly. So she called over one of our deputy clerk staff members which is according to our procedures. She called over a deputy clerk to ask the voter if he had voted. The voter said he had not voted. At that time, it was determined that the ballot had been issued incorrectly, so they reissued him a ballot. The process that it should have gone to before that reissue was to check our central point, which is our electronic database of who's signed in to vote. It captures all the signatures. So at that point, central point should have been checked, and then we would have had the signature of the voter from June 6th when he previously appeared. That step was missed just due to the trying to rush through and get the voter checked in. They reissued him a ballot. They sent him down the hall. He actually cast his ballot. I was notified. I caught him as he was exiting the polling location and asked him, have you previously voted? And he stated, just as Ms. Merriweather said, that he had voted in the primary and he was now voting in the general. So at that point, I brought him back to the office. I told him our procedure is to contact our district attorney's office and that we would probably be contacting him. He seemed very surprised and kind of concerned that he'd actually voted twice in the election. So at that point, I contacted our district attorney. We filed a police report with the Carson City Sheriff's Department. I believe it was strictly administrative. Our poll books don't function that way, so it really wasn't an issue of a malfunction of our poll book. It was just strictly a procedural administrative issue.
I just wanted to add that, you know, we do a lot of training with our workers, and we're very fortunate to be able to staff only two polling locations that we can be there to oversee any of the issues that happen, because there are, you know, people that come in and they were put maybe inactive and they shouldn't have been, or I actually had a person who was removed by accident, and we allowed them to vote a full ballot. But we're really fortunate that Aubrey and I were able to be at the polling locations, and unfortunately, this slipped through, and it was, you know, it wasn't the, you know, the gentleman. I'm sure he just was a little bit confused, and you know, we don't plan on hoping that there won't be any, you know, any prosecution, but we'll leave that up to them. You know, we train our workers and we try to do the best we can, and things like that happen. But, you know, it's I don't think it's an uncommon thing. If you talk to the other bigger counties, that it's happened before and it's, you know, an accident. But anyway, otherwise, I, you know, I, I can't say enough that we're really happy with the way that the numbers came in and you know, everything balanced and everything worked. And so it was a good practice run, and we have a few procedural changes to make, and we're looking forward to the general election.
Yeah, I think the voting machine, I don't know what the rest of the board thought, but I thought it worked pretty slick. And it was awful nice. I mean, I get it, you know, that we want to, if somebody's fleeing and they take their ballot, we got to watch that one. But on the other hand, you know, the ability to have a paper ballot and actually vote a paper ballot, you know, even though in the world of electronics and when we, you know, go down there and you can do blockchain and all that stuff, it really is a big deal to have your own paper ballot and put that in a box and say, hey, I did it. I mean, you know, maybe it's an old-fashioned thing, but that's pretty foolproof in a way. So, okay. All right. Any other questions of Aubrey or Sue? Anybody? Okay. Let's do a motion then to approve the canvas. Go ahead.
I move to accept the canvas of the vote for June 12, 2018 primary election as presented by the clerk recorder.
There's a motion and a second. We don't have the electronics today. On the motion, all in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried. Unanimous. Okay. Anything else? Anything else come before the
Thank
board?
Thank you for the binder. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice piece. Well done.
Well done. That's why, working on concluding public comment. Anybody?
Yeah, I just want to say that Lori really feels bad about not getting an opponent to help us get the vote out. But
I'll work on it.
Yeah. Don't
Jason
work too hard.
And I will try harder in the future.
Don't work too hard. That's all right. All right. All right, anything else? Are we ready to adjourn then? Unless there's an objection, we are adjourned.